You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
A reminder, it's fight night tomorrow night, 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. It is McGregor Poirier 2. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. The prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. So that is a huge night, and we are working on a huge morning as we welcome you to another hour on a Football Friday of Get Up, coming to you live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The crew is ready to go. Let's hit it. It's time to get up with Mr. Mahomes. Looks for certain like he'll play, but one member of our crew has the formula for slowing him down in the biggest game of the year. Then, the legends, Brady, Rodgers, will tell you why this showdown will look nothing like the one last time they met 3 months ago. And on the 15th anniversary of their most famous encounter, don't miss Jalen on that night when Kobe scored 81. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN. And let's start with this. As we look ahead to the NFL's Final Four, we will complete the sentence. And Kimberly Martin, we will start with you. The Buffalo Bills will win if...
Greeny, they'll win if Josh Allen protects the football. In fact, the entire team protects the football. Josh Allen doesn't press, doesn't try to do too much. His receivers hang on to the ball, no drops. And on offense, they stay aggressive and do not settle for field goals. If they do all that, I think Bills Mafia will be jumping through even more tables come Sunday night.
RC, let me come to you on the other side. The Chiefs will win if...
Man, y'all forget all that what Kimberly said. The Chiefs are going to win this game if Patrick Mahomes plays. The end of my analysis.
Okay.
Wow.
It's kind of hard to pick against him, and I'll give you some numbers why to go. Meanwhile, let me go to the NFC game. Rob Ninkovich, I'm coming to you. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will win Sunday if...
Tom Brady is clean as a whistle after this game and has no Lambeau grass stains all over his jersey on his back. So the offensive line is going to have to do a great job, set the tone early, protect Tom, let him evaluate the field and make the best decisions like he does in playoff games, and Tampa will win this football game.
They've kept him clean the last few weeks. And then, Bart, how about the other side for you? The Packers will win if...
Well, the Packers will win if Za'Darius Smith and crew raises havoc on Tom Brady and makes it a one-dimensional game where they can stop the run, and makes Bruce Aaron and Byron Leftwich and Tom Brady go no risk it, no biscuit. You know, with Zaire Alexander, I think all the attention's going to Jalen Ramsey, how great he is. Zaire Alexander is the number one corner in his league. And if Tom Brady has to put the ball up over 30, 40 times, game over, barbecue chicken. See you later, Tom Brady. See you in Cabo.
Well, these are two teams that both have been running the football effectively. Green Bay has been running it with three different backs, and obviously we've seen Tampa running it more effectively the last few weeks. And Bart, you were not with us at the beginning of the program today when we started diving deeply into this game. And I know, and this is perhaps no surprise, that you were looking at linebackers as maybe the most important players on the field. Who are they?
I mean, I think Levante David and Devin White, man, I had a flashback to, like, going against those Pittsburgh Steelers when they had Foote and Ferrier, or, you know, Ray Lewis and Ed Hartwell, you know, Keekly and Thomas Davis. They affect the game so greatly, and greatness comes in every shape and size and every position, but they have great players that are able to affect the passing game and also affect the running game at the same time. They're a flashback, throwback linebackers that can play three downs, they stay on the field. You saw last week David was able to harass Cook enough to make the pass off site and get the interception that way. You know, watching these two guys play remind me of football, how it was played in the early 2000s when the defense was led by middle linebackers and the communication and their ability to stay on the football field and come with that hit stick.
RC, White is your guy, you know, from LSU, and I tell you, I mean, any football fan watching the games can just see he is all over the field.
Listen, he's just – listen, you look at Tyrann Mathieu, he's just extremely intelligent, right? He understands what he's going to do. But are we talking about Devin White or Tyrann?
Yes, I was reading Devin White. Devin White. My bad. Listen.
Wake up, Craig.
Listen, he just wants to talk about LSU all day.
I was reading the outline that I was sitting. I got confused. Now, we look at Devin White. I think this is a dude that's been a star since he came on campus. And you think about the interception he has last week and the fumble recovery. He finished those plays like Derrick Henry. He's a dude that is out for blood. And listening to him post-game, he's not done. You saw the way he was talking about Todd Bowles and the way that he had them prepared. The fact that he was going to hunt, he was going to seek, he was going to destroy. I think those things carry over into this week. And Bart is exactly right. It's not just one of them. Right, when you look at Levante David, who was the leader of this team before Devin White got there, he's the dude who has raised him up, a guy who has helped him get to this point. And he's a star in this league. I believe Devin White was a Pro Bowl snub, but he's going to show everybody why he belonged once again when he's matched up with Aaron Jones this week in a matchup that they dominated in week 6 of this season.
Absolutely, and forced Aaron Rodgers into 2 of the 5 interceptions he's thrown in 18 games this year. And Kimberly, you'll be covering this. And while the spotlight obviously is on the quarterbacks because they are two legends, mm-hmm. It really might be the defenses who wind up deciding this game.
Yeah, I think we've talked a lot about the Tampa Bay defense, but I think the Green Bay Packers defense deserves some credit for being improved over the last 5 weeks. You know, even Aaron Rodgers this week highlighted one of the things that's different about the last time these two teams played each other. The defense has played a lot better over the last 5 weeks, and defensive coordinator Mike Pettine said, we're going to throw our fastball at them. Like, we can't, you know, confuse them. We can't, like, outwit them maybe, try anything sneaky. We just got to out-execute this Buccaneers team. And if you look at what the Packers did last week against the Rams, 244 total yards. I think they sacked Jared Goff 4 times, allowing only 3 scoring drives. That was a good outing, but this week is a really big test.
Yes, and it's a step up in class, and so we will see if that Green Bay defense is able to step up to that. Now, meanwhile, Ryan Clark said earlier, the Chiefs will win if Patrick Mahomes can play. For the moment, he remains in the NFL's concussion protocol, but he took the majority of the snaps at practice yesterday, despite being listed as a limited participant. Jeff Darlington is covering that game for us. He joined us earlier here on Get Up.
If you think about the NFL concussion protocol, there's 5 stages to that. Mahomes basically between 4 and 5 right now, I anticipate. He'll probably get cleared by the Chiefs trainer today. Then the big question is simply the independent neurological examiner. Mahomes can say, and he does say, that he can feel as good as he wants, but not until that independent examiner says that he is back to baseline and fully capable of full contact can Mahomes step back on the field in a game situation. We do anticipate that will happen. The Chiefs are planning for it to happen, but not until that examiner gives the okay will we know that Mahomes is back on the field.
All right, so that was Jeff earlier. Rob Ninkovich, as we bring you into the conversation here, let's assume that Mahomes does play, but we know that he's going to, if so, he is coming out of the protocol, and we saw him limping in the last game pretty significantly with a foot injury is what they're calling it. We believe it is turf toe. How much of an impact, Rob Ninkovich, do you believe the injuries to Mahomes will be on the game Sunday?
I think the toe would be a bigger impact than actually the concussion. The thing that you worry about is just your play calling. Do you really want to put him in positions where he's going to take unnecessary shots? And the competitor and every athlete, when you get out there on the football field and you only got a couple yards to go to get that first down, you're going to try and go get that first down. So I think Andy Reid has to be smart in his play calling, make sure he doesn't put him in a situation where he could potentially get another, you know, ding to the head. But the toe, I mean, I've played with turf toe. If you've played in the NFL, you've probably dealt with turf toe. Greeny, I don't think you've had turf toe. I don't know. But, you know, it's pretty dang painful. And it's really easy to re-injure that. You know, back to you, Greeny. Have you had turf toe? It's pretty painful.
I have not. I have, however, had paper finger. That's why I wear this little thing. I don't know if you can see it, but I use this to change the pages here, and that's why I never get a paper cut anymore. Little pro tip for all you aspiring anchors out there. Bart Scott, let me come to you then quickly, because we didn't have you earlier. Do you expect the injury, particularly to the toe on Mahomes, to be a factor in the game?
I mean, you're talking to somebody who had total reconstruction of his toe, who can't bend his toe, had total ligament transfer on my great toe. So I understand what he's dealing with. But listen, this is an opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl. I mean, you shoot that thing up, he won't feel anything. And the thing about it is the fact that the Super Bowl isn't the next week. They have a week off. He'll be able to recover from that, whatever shot that he takes. But it does, to Nico's point, it does affect his ability maybe to want to, you know, really step all the way into his throw. So maybe you can see some balls that sail if he doesn't really plant right or really feel like he's comfortable in pushing off of it. But we saw, like, last week, one of the biggest plays of the game was Henny when teams decided to go man-to-man and everybody's doubled. You have to make that decision to go get that first down. And we've seen Mahomes last year in the Tennessee game, you know, hurt teams with his athleticism, something he's not known for, but it's something that he's very capable to do if you give him free lanes. I think if I'm Buffalo, I'm going to make sure I play tight man-to-man coverage. You know, I maybe not keep a spy on him, but I make sure I never get the quarterback depth. But I want to make sure that, you know, we know last week that the check for tight man-to-man coverage is a fade to Tyreek Hill. I try and get one of my smart safeties like, you know, Ryan Clark to bait him into one and get him to throw that ball and get him to act like he's doing cover one and get over the top and get an interception.
So super quickly here, RC, you said earlier, if Mahomes plays, they win. It sounds to me like you were then fully confident that whatever the injuries are, they will not impact him.
No, I don't believe that they will. Obviously, we saw him play with that toe injury last week. He was able to throw the ball, move enough to get outside the pocket. And the thing that you watch when you see the Kansas City Chiefs is Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, their ability when he moves outside of the pocket in any manner to uncover, play the scramble drill. And so he doesn't necessarily have to gain yardage with his legs, just move enough to keep the play alive. And with his arm, he doesn't have to step into balls. We've seen him throw sidearm. We've seen him throw off the back foot. Patrick Mahomes will be ready to go this weekend against the Buffalo Bills.
All right, much more on the NFL's Final Four as we continue. But on this Football Friday, we also have more hirings around the sport. Yesterday, there's a new boss in Philly. What exactly will that mean for the player under the most pressure in the entire NFL? We'll talk about that. And nobody had a better view of Kobe Bryant's 81-point game than Jalen Rose. Exactly 15 years later to the day, Jalen will remember that night as we continue. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
On this Football Friday news from the NFL yesterday, the Eagles confirming to Arsal Palantonio that they've hired Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni to be their new head coach. He has 16 years of coaching experience, the last 11 in the NFL. He's worked under head coaches Romeo Crennel, Todd Haley, Mike McCoy, and Anthony Lynn as an offensive coach with the Chargers and the Chiefs, and then former Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, most recently with the Colts. And so as we discussed this earlier, the conversation turned to the frustration a lot of people across the country feel about people who didn't get this job. And that is an important conversation. But now let's turn our attention to who actually did and what impact this will have on the Eagles and Kimberly Martin, maybe most significantly on their quarterback.
Yeah, Greeny, if you're Carson Wentz, you have to feel somewhat good about the fact that the team went out and hired who people believe is an up-and-coming young head coach who not only has players wanting to play for him, but he's also in the Frank Reich school. He coached under Frank, and Carson had a great relationship with Frank Reich. And it's almost like the next best thing, I guess, if you're Carson Wentz, because there was a point where it seemed like these two sides, Carson and the Eagles, were bound for a divorce. Contract aside, it just seemed like both sides were not happy. Carson wasn't happy. And now this move signifies that, yes, the Eagles drew that line in the sand. Peterson is gone. Carson, we believe in you. We want to fix you or fix the situation so we can have a prosperous season. So Nick Sirianni gives them that option.
Right, which suggests to me, Ryan Clark, and it's the reason that I said it in the tease, I believe there is no player who will be under more pressure to perform next season than Carson Wentz, essentially for all the things that Kimberly just broke down.
No, 100%. The Philadelphia Eagles have tied themselves to Carson Wentz beyond the contract. You got rid of a Super Bowl winning head coach. You've essentially said that Jalen Hurts, who started the four last games of the season, will not be your quarterback. It will be Carson Wentz. And you went out and got a head coach that other people weren't speaking of, that wasn't very high on other list of head coaches. He wasn't the hot head coaching candidate. You went and got him based off of one thing. He knows Frank Reich. And when Frank Reich was with Carson Wentz, that's when we felt he was the best. The Eagles knew who they wanted to hire. They knew why they wanted to hire him. And that was because of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, who let this organization down last year, not only with his play, but with his behavior. And so now Carson Wentz has to be a better leader. Carson Wentz has to be a better player. But this has to work, because if it does not, then your head coach is not the head coach of the future. And then your franchise quarterback is not the franchise quarterback of the future. And you've set the entire organization back based on wanting this one player to succeed. That's not the way to build an organization. That's not the way to run a business, but it's the way that they have chosen. And so we'll see how that works out for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think that's right. And if I could, I can't even count the number of times we've said he has to play better and he has to lead better on this show. That said, Bart Scott, he's not the only problem. He played badly last year, but there were a lot of other issues on that team. It's not just Wentz.
Right, I think the Philadelphia job right now is one of the worst jobs in the NFL, because they're $61 million or $64 million over the salary cap. So they can't even fulfill the necessary positions that they need so that Carson Wentz can play better. I mean, I think, you know, a copy of a copy is still a copy, and it gets diluted. So a disciple of Frank Reich doesn't mean that he's Frank Reich. And just because he comes over, he brings the same playbook, doesn't mean that you're going to get the same result. And a house divided can't stand, because the most popular person in any locker room is the backup quarterback, and Jalen Hurts showed that he could perform. So I don't know if Philadelphia is finished yet. I think I look at Indianapolis and say, hey, maybe they still might try and deal Carson Wentz to Indianapolis, because you can't have two quarterbacks and a locker room divided saying, hey, man, I think Jalen is a little better. And if Carson Wentz struggles early on, will he feel the pressure of having that elephant in the room, knowing that the fans may want Jalen Hurts and some of his teammates may want Jalen Hurts? So I think this is a bad job, and they have a lot of work to do. But listen, they sold their soul to win a championship, and they brought that organization, that franchise, their first championship. So it's going to be – it's always ugly. Divorce is always ugly when you're trying to rebuild after you spent all the money and no more cheese is available for the taco.
I got 15 seconds, Ryan Clark. Do you believe that this means Hurts can't be there? Is it impossible in your mind to keep Wentz and Hurts next year?
No. No, Hurts can be there. I think when we were talking about, or when Dan kept saying that these guys both can't be in the same quarterback room, it was because we believed Jalen Hurts would be the starter and Carson Wentz would have to be the backup. Jalen Hurts is going through quarterback controversy. He's been replaced. He's had to leave and transfer schools. Jalen Hurts understands being in this position. He understands where he was drafted. I believe that he'll be the type of guy that can stay in this locker room and do the work. Can Carson Wentz handle the pressure of having a quarterback that can produce right behind him?
Yes, I mean, basically, in that case, you were the new coach and you're stepping directly into a quarterback controversy, which is the last thing any coach ever wants. All right, we'll take a break. Much more coming on this Football Friday. Coming up, he said what? One of the most memorable press conferences you will ever see. What did Jalen Rose think of the new coach of the Lions? We'll ask the Detroit native. Coming up, Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Remember where you were when you watched this game on this flashback Friday? It was 32 years ago today. And one of the most famous passes in NFL history, final half minute of the Super Bowl, that was Joe Montana, that was John Taylor, and that was how Super Bowl 23 was decided. Montana and the 49ers winning a thriller over the Bengals. Montana's third of 4 Super Bowl championships with San Francisco. We'll have Dana White coming up, and we have Jalen Rose ready to go next on the 15-year anniversary of one of the most famous games in NBA history when Jalen went head-to-head with Kobe Bryant the night that Kobe scored 81. Jalen remembers that and more in just a moment. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and on this Football Friday, the Detroit Lions introduced their new head coach, Dan Campbell, yesterday. He gave a 19-minute opening statement and expressed exactly what type of team he wanted, one that mirrors the city he once played for. And as he talked, a lot of people wound up wondering to themselves, I'm sorry, what? Give a listen.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
So that was a lot of words, and it got me to wondering, I wonder how the Detroit Lions fans felt about that news conference, and my favorite Detroit Lions fan is Jalen Rose. Jalen, what'd you think of your new guy?
I applaud his enthusiasm. He used to play for the team. It was laughable to me that some people thought that Eric Bieniemy would interview for our job, knowing that we weren't going to pay top dollar for a coach. With that being said, I want the big fella to understand, we need resuscitation. This whole kick in the teeth and bite at the knees, we're already dead. We need you to bring us back to life. We won one playoff game in 60 years. Like, Greeny, like I remember when Wayne Fonts went 8-8, we played another one bites the dust. And it was Gary Danielson and Eric Hipple. And then Bobby Ross got the job, and he wanted to put a fullback in front of Barry Sanders. And you know what Barry did? He retired. We had Marty Mordenwig as our coach. And I remember, I'll never forget, watching him and Rod Marinelli play against one another. And I'm like, no, Rod Marinelli, when you're a Lions fan, you can cuss. It's Rod Marinelli and Jim Schwartz. I'll never forget, I was watching the Cowboys play against the Eagles. And both of those coordinators were being celebrated. And I'm thinking, those are the last two Lions coaches. And one of them went 0-16. I root for a team that went 0-16. So I'm just happy that he wants the job. But here's what I want him to know. Lions fans like myself are diehard. It's the organization that's had Lynn Barney, okay? Night Train Lane, Barry Sanders, Megatron. Am I selling it to him, Greeny? Is that a good
enough
sell job?
You're doing the best you can. You don't have to sell him. He's already taken the job. Let's see how it goes. All right, I'm glad that you're excited at least a little. Let me go through some basketball with you here, and then we'll get to the main event, if you will. Let's talk about the Lakers and the Bucks last night. They went head-to-head, so it's Giannis and it's LeBron, and we take a look here. The early going here, Giannis was playing well, bringing the ball up. Anthony Davis giving him room, and Giannis is knocking it down. He scored 25 points last night, had 12 rebounds, and also doing it on the defensive end. Look at him saying, get that out of there, to LeBron James. LeBron flying down the lane, and Giannis says, not in this house. The Bucks had a four-point lead after one. But let's take you all the way to the fourth quarter. Now the Lakers are up by five. That's Kuzma for LeBron. That's LeBron, and it's good. The Lakers an eight-point lead. He scored 34 on the night, under 5 minutes to go. Giannis trying to keep his team in it. Little turnaround Jay in the painted area. A seven-point game here. Next Bucks possession. They're running the ball again. How in the world is this not a walk? I guess that doesn't really matter. Giannis lays it up and good. It's a four-point game after the free throw. Under three to play now. Lakers are up two. Look at the ball movement. Look at KCP. Three. He was 7 of 10 from three-point range on the night as he knocks that down and then looking for a dagger. It's LeBron James with just over a minute to play. They're up by 5. Now they're up by 8. 34 for LeBron, 8 assists and 6 boards, 25 and 12 rebounds for Giannis, but not enough as the Lakers get the win. And Jalen, I'll just ask you the same question I asked Timmy Legler earlier this morning. Are the Lakers just on their own level as we look at the entire NBA? Is it basically LeBron and the Lakers and everybody else?
Absolutely, and that's kind of how I see the Kansas City Chiefs in the NFL. It's like, if you had to take them or the field, you want to take the field because there's so many other teams. And then you realize that one team has Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Kelce. And in the NBA, you realize one team has LeBron James, Anthony Davis, are the defending world champions, added Dennis Schroeder, Montrezl Harrell. You still have Kyle Kuzma. KCP made 7 threes last night. You could go on and on about this Lakers roster, the depth that they have, the experience that they have, the confidence that they have. So, yes, the Clippers can be a big-time foe, the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets. You know, there's so many other teams that are going to contend in the West, but the Lakers are on a totally different level than everybody else. And it's almost sad to see the Milwaukee Bucks window close, Greeny. I know the last time I was on this show, I was trying to be the last of the Mohicans. Like, the Bucks are going to win the East, even though Kevin Durant got Kyrie Irving and James Harden. And then that same night, I was watching League Pass, and Giannis went 1-for-10 from the free throw line. And the big fella, while he's working as hard as any player in the league, is still shooting some air balls out there on the court. So I decided, Kevin Durant is winning the East. Kevin Durant is winning the East. Whoever's out there with him, they're going to win the East.
So it'll be the Nets and the Lakers, says Jalen Rose. Okay, the thing I also really wanted to get into today, as we approach the one-year anniversary of the tragic death of the great Kobe Bryant, today is actually the 15-year anniversary of one of the most famous games he ever played, when he scored 81 points against the Toronto Raptors. And Jalen, you, of course, were on that Raptors team. You personally gave up 18 points. We've had our share of fun with that. And you and Kobe, of course, had a lot of fun with that over the course of time. The olives, who will ever forget when he wanted 81 olives in his martini. And I just wonder, in the wake of what has happened over the last year, just how you look back on that today, 15 years after that night.
I can't lie, Greeny. I want to celebrate the legend of the Black Mamba. And for me, it was an honor to be the bug on the windshield as he had his all-time great scoring affair, the second highest scoring game in the history of the NBA. I'm glad it was his first time that his grandmother got a chance to watch him play, and all of the great things that come with the Mamba mentality. But the one thing I always tell people about that game, and I was a player that played with a lot of enthusiasm and talked a lot of trash or whatever. If you notice, those ain't really highlights. Like, if you ever watch Kobe Bryant play basketball, what you watching right there, those ain't highlights. Mm. That's just him putting in work. And he never talked trash. He never said anything. Because when you talk trash and you hit your chest and you point up at the sky and you do the airplane wings after every shot that you make, you know what happens? People want to hurt you. They want to double team you. They want to triple team you. They want to quadruple team you. And he did none of that. And I can't front that he's not here anymore. And this is like the first time that I guess I've talked about this since his passing. It hits different because I used to be able to still text him about this. See, the one thing a lot of people don't know about Kobe Bryant and I is we actually had a relationship, a friendship. And it just really feels awkward knowing that his family won't get a chance to see him go into the Hall of Fame. You know, he won't get a chance to, you know, have his statue outside of the Staples Center. And we can't in the flesh celebrate his greatness. But for this day, please honor the Black Mamba. Please respect his family. Send them your prayers and your well wishes and everyone that passed in that horrific helicopter accident. And again, there are going to be a lot of people that speak on the Black Mamba's behalf and represent his legacy. I'm really grateful that I got a chance to play in that game and got a chance to see his greatness up close and personal.
It's beautifully said, and I think for all of us, it just looks different looking back on it all now as we approach the one-year anniversary of that day. We will talk more about that next week. Jalen, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You are the best. And we have more NBA action coming your way, our NBA doubleheader tonight. We've got two really good games. It starts with countdown, so Jalen will be there live, 7 Eastern on ESPN. The Celtics and the Sixers started, and then Nikola Jokic, who's having an unbelievable season with the Nuggets, taking on Devin Booker and the Suns. So it's a good doubleheader of NBA action coming your way tonight on ESPN. And we will continue with much more on this Football Friday, including Brady versus Rodgers. We'll make our picks. And how important is this game to their legacies? That conversation is on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. I'm Mike Greenberg from our studios in New York, and we're with you commercial-free for the next 16 minutes exactly, taking you right up to the top of the hour when First Take will take over. Commercial-free from now until then, and then First Take will be busy. Will Brady's Buccaneers upset Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? And is Carson Wentz too talented to give up on? They'll answer those questions and more. First Take with Stephen A. and Max and Molly is coming up in a moment. And we have much more football coming, but of course, tomorrow night is the fight night. Officially, Saturday night, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier, both weighed in early this morning, both made weight, so they are officially a go for their rematch at UFC 257. And this reminder that DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC. And this Saturday, new players can play free for $100,000 in prizes when they make their first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the promo code OCTAGON for your shot. And with that, we take you live to Fight Island and the president of UFC, Dana White, ahead of what is a huge night, obviously, with the return of the sport's biggest star. So, Dana, thank you for this. And I'm sure you've spent a bunch of time this week with both McGregor and Poirier. What have you seen from the two of them in preparation for tomorrow night?
Yeah, no, they're both in good spirits. They're both in great shape. Conor weighed in today at championship weight, 55 on the nose. Poirier weighed in at 56. You know, Conor at the press conference yesterday said, I'm going to paint a masterpiece on Saturday. I will finish him early, fast, within 60 seconds. And obviously, Poirier has been waiting for this opportunity for many years and is a completely different fighter than the first time they fought. You mix all that together, and we have a fun fight on Saturday night.
Yeah, last time I talked to you, you were talking about that exactly. It was 6 years ago these two met for the first time, and Poirier is an entirely different fighter. But for many of the fans, we haven't seen McGregor in quite some time. Remind everyone of specifically what makes him so good and so dangerous tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, a lot of people believe, they're questioning Conor's cardio, especially with the time off that he's had. And many people feel that Conor will be dangerous the first round and a half, two rounds. And if it goes past that, they're questioning his conditioning. Conor has said, don't worry about my conditioning. I'm in the best shape of my life. Working on different things as far as strength and conditioning for this fight. And he is adamant that he's in the best shape he's ever been in. And he's going to blow everybody's mind on Saturday night.
And he may have blown a lot of people's minds, and I'm sure made you very happy when he was on Stephen A. Smith's new show on ESPN Plus. And I want to make sure I get this right. Yesterday, he said he could see himself fighting 7 times in the next year and a half. What was your reaction when you heard him say that?
Yeah, listen, Conor McGregor is a huge superstar, in all of sports, not just here. I hope Conor fights 17 times and he's with me for another 35 years. So it's all good.
Should be a very special night. We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Dana, as always, for everything. And we'll see you tomorrow night as, again, it is McGregor and Poirier, the rematch. They fought 6 years ago, and we'll be watching all the action tomorrow night. It's UFC 257 from Abu Dhabi. It's 10 o'clock Eastern time for the main event on pay-per-view. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNPlus.com/PPV. The prelims start at 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. So we are ready for that. And then we're ready, of course, for the NFL games the following day. Let's talk about who will be the difference makers going into the conference championship games. Kimberly, let's start with you. Give me a difference maker for the Bills.
Here's one you might not be thinking. Leslie Frazier, the Bills defensive coordinator. Look, Patrick Mahomes not only has the concussion but the toe injury. If he's 80%, do you get more aggressive? Do you change what you're doing? Do you try to flush him out the pocket, bring more pressure? This is an interesting matchup, and I think how you attack Patrick Mahomes, being aggressive is the key.
RC, meanwhile, on the other side, give me a difference maker for Kansas City.
Oh, you know where I'm going with this, Greeny. The same guy we were texting about this weekend, and that's Tyrann Mathieu. If you go to the first half, he stopped the Cleveland Browns from running the football with this pressure in the backfield, tackles for loss. And then in the second half, he got them back to running the football because he picks off Baker Mayfield. This dude is a dictator. Tyrann Mathieu enforces his will upon you and makes you adjust your game to him. That's what the great ones do defensively.
He is all over the field. Are the NFC, Rob, a difference maker for the Bucs?
I'm going with Ryan Jensen. Look, we saw it last week. He was the tone setter early in this game. He was mixing it up against the Saints, throwing guys off the field. And look, if Tom Brady is going to win this football game, it starts up front with Tampa. We could talk about all the skill positions and AB and all the tight ends they have. But if they don't
killing
protect
people.
Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. And Ryan Jensen's going to start that up front from the
if
first play.
If you're with
play.
Us on Tuesdays, you saw Jeff Saturday handing him some pancakes. Bart, give me a difference maker for Green Bay.
Man, that's a tough act to follow, man. That guy was taking guys and giving them reservations for Gatorade. But I tell you what, for me, it's Za'Darius Smith. You think about 26 sacks in 2 years. He's the tone setter. If Brady's going to be rattled and get off his spot, it's going to be because Za'Darius Smith is getting at him. And he's a guy that's physical. He's the energy guy, too. His energy is infectious. And when he plays at a high level, when he's dancing and crawling on the ground, Rambo style, then I tell you what, this team is like a free in a feeding frenzy, and they feed off his energy.
All right, and so the defenses and the offensive lines and all of that will be critically important. But obviously, as we look ahead to this NFC Championship game, the main event, if you will, is the matchup of these two legendary quarterbacks who've never faced each other in a postseason game before. And it is you guys' job to analyze the games, and it's people like me to sort of describe what we think it means. What does this game mean to the legacy of these two legendary players? So, Kimberly, I'll start with you as another who, like me, that's your job, is to sort of try and put this in perspective. How do we describe what this game means for the legacies of Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers?
Honestly, I don't think it means that much as far as changing our perceptions of them. Do we not already think Tom Brady is arguably the GOAT? I think it'd be amazing. It'd be a great story for the Tampa Bay franchise. Just getting to this point a year after switching quarterbacks and everything and getting Tom Brady and making the Super Bowl if that's what they're able to do. But we consider him the GOAT. He's got 6 rings. Does he need another to cement his legacy? No, but it's a wonderful story. And Aaron Rodgers, if he wins another Super Bowl, so he's got 2, okay. But Devontae Adams has talked about how winning more than one Super Bowl, that doesn't equal QB excellence. So we look at Rodgers and know he's one of the greatest of all time as well. So I don't think it really changes anything for me personally.
I disagree on both counts, as you would probably not be surprised to hear, so we'll talk about that. But Bart, let me come to you. Let's let you guys say. Let's hear the former players. What do you think this game means to the legacies of these quarterbacks? Bart.
I mean, for me, for Tom Brady, his legacy is cemented, but it means that he can win without Bill Belichick. So what came first, the chicken or the egg? He's saying, hey, I can win by myself on my own. Guy, you talk about wars in baseball. You ask yourself, what's Tom Brady's war? He's a force multiplier. He's a guy that can take a team that's not great, even though he has a lot of talent. But they need to learn how to win. He's teaching them how to perform in the toughest moments. Nobody's been more clutch in this league than Tom Brady. And when you go over to Aaron Rodgers, I think this is very important for him because he's one of those and but guys right now. Yeah, he won a championship. He won an MVP. But, like, if he's that talented, he's that great, why could he only get one? You know what I mean? Putting 2 puts you in rarefied air. I mean, I think that makes him pass Ben Roethlisberger, and it puts him up there in the conversation to not be on the Mount Rushmore, but he's right there. And then he has a little bit more work to try and get past that Mount Rushmore to get up there with the greats like Tom Brady, to get up there with Joe Montana. Right now, he's sitting there at the cusp, And they're wondering, with all this talent, and why can't you be able to win more than one championship? Hell, right, Terry Bradshaw had four, and I know it's a lot to do with the defense, but right now, Aaron Rodgers is one of these and-but quarterbacks.
I think that's interesting perspective. Rob Ninkovich, what do you think?
Well, I think Tom Brady's legacy is cemented. We've all seen that this year. And his ability to win these big games, we've seen it time in and time out. He's gonna perform when the games are on the line. And so you look at the other side of this thing, in Aaron Rodgers, I think it's very important that he goes out there and he has a victory in this matchup and gets to a Super Bowl and wins another one. I mean, look at Drew Brees. If Drew Brees had more than one Super Bowl, I think that he would be even higher than everyone talks about as far as greatest of all time talk. And you look at Peyton Manning, all these older quarterbacks, they did it when they were younger. You know, Aaron Rodgers did it when he was a young quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't been back since. He's in his 30s now. Tom Brady has done it in his 20s, in his 30s, in his 40s. I mean, that's why Tom Brady's legacy is cemented.
Ryan Clark, what do you think?
100%. Tom Brady's only adding, you know, in Louisiana, we call it lanyap, right? That's a little bit extra. Tom Brady's just going to add some layers to that GOAT story. We know he's had the greatest career of all time. But for me, this is huge for Aaron Rodgers. Think about it. Now you put Aaron Rodgers with the Johnny Unitas, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Brady's, the Jim Browns. If he wins his third MVP this year, that's rarefied air. You know, also Brett Favre. And so then you move into the championships. He not only won a championship when he was young with a great defense, but now he backdoors that at 37 and wins another Super Bowl. This puts him into conversations with the Joe Montanas, with the Tom Brady's, with the Peyton Mannings, and he becomes, to me, a top five quarterback, top three or four quarterback of all time. This is ultimately important for Aaron Rodgers and his legacy. I think it changes the conversation on who he was as a quarterback.
We have upset Kimberly.
Is Dan Marino not a good quarterback because he doesn't... Okay.
He ain't win three MVPs. He ain't win no Super Bowl. He's a great quarterback. He's a great quarterback.
John Elway. Aaron, but he's not John Elway.
Now you're all moving into my world. I've been a talk show host for 25 years. It's why we ask these kinds of questions. Meantime, we have one order of business left before we vacate for today, and that is our NFL picks brought to you by DraftKings. And before we get everyone else's picks for the games this weekend, I will tell you I don't have to pick Sunday's games because I picked them on September 10th.
Ooh.
I too have Kansas City winning the Super Bowl, but I have them beating Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. I just buy. Mm. I buy into it in every conceivable way, primarily because that's a much better team than anyone else, I think, realizes. The Buccaneers I'm talking about. So I've got Tampa Tom at home, but I have him losing to Mahomes and the Chiefs. So as I've said many times, like most geniuses, I will not be fully appreciated until long after my time. But I gave you the Super Bowl matchup 4 months ago, so I don't need to do it again. Meanwhile, let's go our picks for the AFC Championship game. Rob Ninkovich, you're first. Kansas City, Buffalo, who you got?
I'm going with Kansas City. I just think that overall they're a better team. Offensively, defensively, Kansas City's going to win this game.
Ryan Clark, give me some thoughts. Why? Who do you like, and give me a quick thought on why?
I like the Kansas City Chiefs. I think that Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. He's the best player in football, even though Aaron Rodgers will be the MVP this year. You look at the offensive weapons there clicking at an all-time high, and Darrell Williams is running the football well, which is the way they beat the Buffalo Bills with Clyde Edwards-Hilaire in the beginning of the season. And also defensively, having a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, a difference maker, a game changer, and the way that he's played in these big-time playoff games, I believe it's huge. The Kansas City Chiefs show that championship medal and get another win.
Bart, who you got?
I mean, I got the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I applaud Josh Allen for what he's been able to do, but I think he's just 1 year away, and he has to get a little bit more pain, learn how to lose before he learns how to win. The problem is, there's no guarantees that you ever get back to this level, so you want to take advantage of it. But right now, Mahomes is just too good right now, and they still have some lessons, some levels to climb as a team together, as a unit.
Yeah, and again, I gave you my pick back in September. I've got Kansas City. The one caveat, and I think no one expects this, if Mahomes doesn't play, then I believe Buffalo wins. If for whatever reason the independent neurologist does not clear him, that would change my pick, but I don't think anyone expects that. Kimberly, with you covering games, we want to ask you to give us a pick, but give us a note. Give us what is it you are most interested in or the number one thing you have in mind with this game?
I think we agree Kansas City is the favorite, but I want to see if the Buffalo Bills walk into Arrowhead like the team that believe they belong there and they can actually with Stephon Diggs and Josh Allen and all those guys in that defense, that they can act like a team that deserves to be there and can knock off the defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah, they're the one team for whom their season is already an inarguable success, and that doesn't necessarily tell you which way it's going to go this weekend, but I think of that, they're the one team that could lose this weekend, and everyone will still say their season was a huge success. All right, to the NFC game, pretty simple again. Bart, I will start with you this time. Who have you got? We got the Bucs and the Packers Sunday afternoon. Who do you like?
Well, I got a slight advantage for the Packers just simply because, you know, this Tampa team has just got together. They remind me of, like, the LeBron-led Miami Heat. They have to figure out how they want to play, and everybody hasn't really settled into their role. I think they're set up to win maybe next year, long as Tom is still healthy and upright. I think they'll be able to improve, but I just think Green Bay is a little bit too much. They're clicking on all cylinders, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a man on a mission because he's a little upset and agitated. They brought his replacement in. He's saying, not so fast, Kimo Sami.
That's exactly right. He's on the scorched earth tour, and it continues. Rob Ninkovich, who you got?
I got to go with Tampa. Everyone wants to talk about Tampa, Tom, and the receiving corps, but what about the defense? You got JPP, you got Sue. These guys are going to be motivated to get after the quarterback up front. They have the talent up front, so I think Tampa takes this game over defensively, and Tampa wins this football game.
They won that game with defense when these teams played each other a few months ago. Ryan Clark, who you got?
I kind of want to take, like, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I kind of just want to blend the teams. Like, I've been texting Zach the whole show, like, did I pick Tampa? Did I pick Green Bay? Because, like, last week I tried to be, like, super smart, and I really dove into the film, and I was picking some underdogs.
Just last
and I was
week.
Wrong as hell, man. And so, you know what? This week, I'm just going to go with Green Bay. I think they edged this game out. To me, it's truly a toss-up. I think this defense of the Green Bay Packers is underrated. You heard Jair Alexander mentioned by Bart early on in this show. He's going to be big in this game. I also feel that Aaron Rodgers makes the plays and finally gets back to a Super Bowl. So I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers, even though I'm not super sure.
And Kimberly Martin, you'll be covering the game. How many layers are we wearing for the afternoon at Lambeau Field? How many layers?
Oh, man. Long John's just came in the mail. But I actually just want to see if Aaron Rodgers can get to the Super Bowl so that everybody can stop talking about how he hasn't cemented his legacy yet. That's all I'm interested
Well played. In. We are out of time. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.